Ready, down, hunt, 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 hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Got some weird stuff happening in the YouTube section, gang. Got some weird stuff happening in the YouTube comments. Jason Wilde joins us three times a week. He is here with us now. Good morning, Jason. How you doing today?
Is Barry Sorrell in the YouTube comments for your show now, too?
Not yet.
Yeah. Got pumping up number 99.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy listeners on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy listeners crime going on in there. Chewy went to Hibachi last night, and they did not do the shrimp toss. This feels like a major crime, particularly for Chu, who likes to show off his athletic prowess every chance he gets. When's the last time you went to Hibachi, Jason?
Ooh, long time. Long time ago. I mean, the girls were probably pretty little. We do a lot of sushi. We don't do a lot of Hibachi. So I'm sorry, Chewy. You know, any opportunity for you to be the coolest guy in the room, I know you don't want to miss that.
Well, it's just I think I have the biggest mouth. That's why I dominated the shrimp toss.
Well, I don't disagree with that.
Literally and figuratively. We can't tell this guy nothing.
No. Well, it's not that you can. It's just I can't remember whether you said, hey, you can't tell people this or tell people this. And I usually...
Oh, I have the same problem, and I don't have CTE to blame for it.
Yeah. I mean, Jason, off the record, this doesn't apply to me. I'm sorry.
It used to.
But now everything's on the record.
Yeah. Jason, how real is Romeo Doubs to the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yeah, it's a great question. I've not talked to Romeo. The piece that makes me... Well, let me back up. First of all, I don't think it's completely, the concept itself is ridiculous, right? Because, first of all, and again, I don't know this because we have not had any access to veteran players since the offseason program started. So the closest we have is the Athletic's Matt Schneidman going through all 154 photos that, were taken by team photographer Evan Siegel from the first day of workouts. And as you know, not everyone comes for the first day, but maybe they come a week later. Maybe their wife was having a baby or whatever it might be, right? So I am always leery of that. Now, I have created a small stir in the Packers Twitterverse by positing that Elgton Jenkins may not be the happiest camper in America. And I feel pretty strongly, because I would hope people understand that I don't just throw stuff against the wall, that they're not like animosity level, but there's some, you know, hey, I'll let you take care of your guy here kind of a vibe there, okay? But Romeo Doubs was also not seen in those photos. Now, that could have changed. But when you start to put together all the pieces, the staying home from work the week they were playing in Los Angeles, his hometown, because he was unhappy with his role, the two concussions, the being too sick to play in the finale, and then, and this part isn't Romeo's fault, they play Christian Watson and he blows out his ACL in a game that, had Romeo Doubs not been sick, Watson would have been inactive, which I still think is one of the stories that we have not done a great job of pointing that out. Because that, I don't know, Christian Watson's a better guy than me because I'd be pissed. Put all that together. Think about the fact that we're no longer talking about, well, which of the guys from that 2022 class are they going to extend first, Zach Tom or Romeo Doubs? We're not talking about that. I have not heard anyone say, well, they should really extend Romeo Doubs. Put that all together, and I'm like, okay, I can see trading him now, doing it with a conditional pick that can go pretty high if he has like a 1,000-yard season for the Steelers. All that makes sense to me. Even the idea of moving on from a wide receiver, that now you have drafted two guys and you'll be without two guys because you'll have traded Romeo and because Christian Watson will be on the shelf till November, that all makes sense. You know what the part is that doesn't make sense? That Aaron Rodgers really likes him?
Yeah.
What evidence
that was,
do we have of that?
Yeah, I know.
Saw that and was like, huh, that's an interesting take.
Yeah. So, and I saw it from Albert Breer, and I saw it from The Pony Express, Andrew Filipino, something like that, out in Pittsburgh. Look, I'm not, unlike some people, I am not here to poo-poo people's reporting. I can see this being a possibility. I don't know if it's a likelihood or not, but I'm very curious to see what Romeo's career arc is, because I go back to a conversation I had 6 weeks ago with somebody who works in the building who basically said, look, this guy can make himself a ton of money if he just puts his head down and works his tail off. And I said, would he make that money from the Packers? And it was the shrug emoji. So, I think he is entering his last year with the Packers. I don't think with the concussions and with his behavior, even though they may have forgiven him, I don't think they've forgotten that scenario. And I think teams are reluctant to invest high dollar amounts, long-term deals in guys that they're not quite sure about when it comes to that sort of stuff. So that's why I can see this as logical and reasonable and possible. I just don't, the Rodgers component doesn't make sense to me.
Jason, what's Romeo's reputation with his teammates? Because I know we've had the discussion of, man, if you're the coaching staff, if you're in the front office, might be tough to trust him based on the action of skipping work the way he did last year. But almost to a man, everybody seemed to have his back. Was that because they knew they needed the support or because it was more genuine when he finally returned to the Packers last year?
Yeah, Gabe, I think it's both, right? Like, I think this is going to sound hokey, but I do think that they've got some pretty good dudes in that locker room. Like, I think they're supportive of their teammates. Like, they're all the things that we preach in youth sports, and in the pros, they're actually doing that to a certain degree because, in part, these guys aren't that far removed from playing youth sports, right? Because they're so young. At the same time, like, I would also say, and again, my interactions with him, he's a different guy. Like, he's just different. There aren't many guys that I can think of that are like him during the 30 years of covering this team. So, you know, I think that, do I think that he's going out on the town with Wicks and Reed? Do I think that guys have as close of relationships with him as those two, you know, obviously had when they rented that Vrbo last offseason? And I'm guessing they did it again this year to work out together in Florida. I don't think so, but I noticed in one of those videos of them working out in some random park that Romeo was there with them. So, you can be good teammates with someone. You can be friends with someone, even if your personalities aren't similar. So I don't think there's issues with them in terms of teammates to Romeo and vice versa. I think they probably accept him as being a little bit of a different dude, and things function okay. Again, I don't think anybody's as a player saying, "Boy, we got to get rid of this guy." But at the same time, like, I'm not sure how. I don't know how close his relationships are with his guy.
Jason, I want you to listen to some sound from Peter Schrager yesterday on the Pat McAfee Show. Take a listen to this.
I had a lovely dinner with Matt LaFleur during draft week in Green Bay, and I brought it up, and I don't think he'd mind me saying this, saying, like, we're actually in a good place with Jair. You know, obviously there was some stuff last year and the coin toss situation a couple of years back, and all that
awesome
stuff is all head-scratching stuff that it would drive a coach nuts when you're trying to run a disciplined program. But from what I gather, this thing is in a lot better place than what was being presented in the media.
What? What is your reaction to that revelation from Peter Schrager?
I could show you the text exchange I had with Jesse and Tausch about this, but then if you put it on YouTube, I think we'd get censored. first of all, Peter, you're in the media. Second of all, we all talk to people. And maybe things are in a better place now. But I can tell you that 6 weeks ago, they weren't. And I can tell you that Matt LaFleur all along has been someone who has believed that Jair Alexander can still play and play at a high level. And when reminded that that's an issue of when he plays, Matt LaFleur acknowledged that that's part of the equation and part of the concern. But I can tell you that Matt LaFleur has kept in touch with Jair throughout the offseason because he didn't know which way this was going to go. And we still, quite frankly, don't. Yeah, remember when I said at the beginning of our conversation here that I don't dump on other people's reporting? That's what I was referring to. And I don't know how Rob Domofsky has heard that or not. I'm not a fan of doing that sort of thing. And to suggest that it has been somehow erroneously presented in the media, that bothers me.
Well, and also it's still very nebulous and vague. We're actually in a good place with Jair. I think it would lead a lot of people to believe that maybe they have worked out a contract situation, that he will be coming back. But it also could be that they have both come to the agreement that, hey, it's not going to work out here. We understand, you understand, and we're in a good place. It was just way too vague, like most of the other information that has been out there.
Well, I'm glad that Peter let us know that he had dinner with Matt before.
Chew, you got anything else for Jason this morning?
Well, Jason, like, LaFleur had to know that would come out. I mean, just what if he said the opposite?
He's a crap head. To do a callback to earlier in the conversation, you don't know when we're on the record or off the record.
Correct.
When you preface something by saying, I don't think he would mind if I say this. So was the dinner on the record or off the record?
Yeah.
Like I can tell you that Matt LaFleur and I have, I wouldn't say regular conversations, but we have conversations intermittently. I automatically put them all off the record and I don't attach. If I say something based on that, I don't say, oh, Matt LaFleur and I were talking at the kids' soccer game the other day. And I don't put his name on it. Like, this is one of the things that and let me give people a quick peek behind the curtain. Okay. And I don't know how Rob is a phenomenal reporter. He is way better at it than me. Okay. But when I talk about stuff on our show or your show or any of our shows, if I don't know something or if I don't even have a feel for something, what do I say? I say, I don't know. I've done it like four times in the last 15 minutes. At the same time, when I present things, those are not brought up blindly without having conversations with people to get an idea of where things are. Because what I don't want to do for our fans is mislead them with wrong information. Mm-hmm. And so when I talk about the fact that, you know, I don't think Elgton Jenkins is happy with his contract situation and he would like some security, there's some information behind that. I'm not telling you who it's from or how I got it or anything like that. So there's a way to do that and inform your fans without necessarily it being a humble brag. And so In this case, I don't know today where things stand with Jair. I can't say for certain that he's going to be back on this team. I can't say for certain that they're definitely going to release him. If you remember 6-8 weeks ago when we started this saga, I was never saying he is definitely gone because I can't say that for certain. And because I knew there were people in the building that still wanted him on the team. You know who I don't know what he wants? Because he doesn't return my text messages as frequently as other people.
Chair.
Brian Gutekunst.
Oh.
Right? Like, and Jair, yeah. I didn't, you know, I never got the chance to pass all of the requisite tests that he requires before giving out his phone number. So I can't actually get a hold of him. So I have not, I can guarantee you, I have not corresponded with Jair. So again, I don't know how this is going to end, but as I have been saying for weeks, I have a great relationship with him. And I enjoy covering him, and I think he's a damn good football player when he's on the field. I understand the team's concerns about his availability, but if they can create a contract that he is willing to accept that guarantees him earning back every penny that he would lose in a pay cut simply by suiting up every week. So if they took, this is the example I used yesterday, if they take his $16.1 million base salary, cut it in half, they guarantee $8.05 million of his base salary and take the other $8.05 and divide it by 17, and he gets a roster bonus for being active for each game he's active. And that way he has the ability to get paid the exact same amount that he was paid, he was scheduled to be paid this year. If he's willing to accept that, then great. Then everyone should be happy. He should be on the field. And it, barring a major injury, he should be able to, because I understand people have reservations about him not playing through injuries. I don't know if that's fair or not, but that's the perception. So if they're able to work out a contract that he's willing to take that guarantees him half of his salary and gives him the opportunity to earn back the other half, great. That seems to work for everyone. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but I can tell you this. I am exhausted by this story, and I am irritated by people that would say that kind of stuff about other people trying to do their jobs.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us, giving us the insight. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, I think you've kind of ruined my day already. I just want you guys to know that, because I was in a great mood. The dogs and I are sitting here giving them pats. They're so happy. And now I'm pissed.
Did we ruin the
lot,
day?
You jerk.
That's Gabe's fault.
Or Peter Schrager ruined
the
day?
How is this my fault?
Because
it's all Gabe's fault.
So Peter Schrager's just a fault. He's
stop,
a suck toad.
Stop,
that's
stop.
Probably, yeah.
You need to.
Why? I can
Will,
say that.
You have to shut off his mic. You just have to shut it off when he starts to say.
I got your back, Jason.
Yeah, thanks, Chu. Appreciate you. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
All right. Jason Wilde can be heard on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We got to take a break. We have to get to Craig Karmazin. He is coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Tune in to Behind the Bucks on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. It's presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Behind the Bucks dives deep into Bucks in Six, a culture unknowingly created by former Bucks star Brandon Jennings. Take a look inside Brandon Jennings' story, the origin of Bucks in Six, how it became the rallying cry, and what it truly means to Jennings and the Bucks fans alike. Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcast. It is presented by Gallagher.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues next on 94.5 ESPN.